So welcome. I'm Boris Kasulovsky, a partner in the International Arbitration Group of Freshfield. This is the second edition of the IAG podcast. I'm here today with my partner, Peter Turner, QC, and my colleague, Desiree Pruntel, to talk about the impact of the ACMEA decision. So Desiree, do you just want to briefly introduce the decision?
ACMEA BV is a company that is established in the Netherlands and had a subsidiary in the Slovak Republic in order to benefit from the liberalized health insurance market. The Slovak Republic then revoked the reform, and thus ACMEA was prohibited from distributing its profits obtained in the Slovak market. This was perceived as breach of the BIT by the Slovak Republic, and therefore ACMEA brought arbitral proceedings under the unsectoral rules with a seat of arbitration in Frankfurt, Germany. There was a preliminary ruling of the Court of Justice, and it upheld the position of the Slovak Republic, ruling that an arbitration clause, which is contained in an intra-EU BIT and establishes an arbitral tribunal that may have to interpret EU law, actually is not in conformity with EU law, because such tribunal does not qualify as a tribunal or a court. It cannot ask for a preliminary ruling, and this impairs the autonomy of EU law. So taking this in account, the arbitral award, which was in favor of the investors, was annulled.
Well, thank you. Peter, do you want to briefly touch on the background against which the ACMEA decision was rendered?
Yes, thanks, Boris. So the effect of ACMEA is that in practice, intra-EU BITs, that's to say investment protection treaties between two member states of the European Union, have been found by the Court of Justice to be incompatible with EU law. And everybody is taking that to mean that such treaties no longer give investors the right to bring arbitration against EU member states if they themselves, the investors, are from an EU member state. So I had the privilege of arguing the very first case in which the jurisdiction of an arbitral tribunal under an intra-EU bilateral investment treaty was challenged, Eastern Sugar and the Czech Republic, where the Czech Republic challenged the jurisdiction of the arbitral tribunal set up under the treaty with the Netherlands, which is the same treaty, in fact, as the Netherlands-Slovakia BIT that was in issue in the ACMEA case. It dated to before the split of the old Czechoslovakia into the Czech Republic and Slovakia. In that case, I represented the investor Eastern Sugar, and we established for the first time that the accession of the Czech Republic to the EU did not somehow render the BIT between the Netherlands and the Czech Republic to be void. It did not in any way supersede it. It was not covering the same subject matter. There was a long and intricate debate about how, under customary international law, the law of treaties, it is possible for a later treaty to supersede an earlier treaty, and the arbitral tribunal found that it had not. And it further found that the protections that were given under the EU treaty did not cover the same ground as the protections given to investors under the bilateral investment treaty. And that has formed the battleground ever since. There are two limbs to the challenges that member states and the European Commission have brought to intra-EU BITs, and in recent years to claims by investors domiciled in EU member states against other EU member states under the Energy Charter Treaty, which we will come on to talk about. The two limbs are, first, that effectively the protections that these investment treaties give is the same as the protections that the investors can have under EU law, and therefore they should bring claims only under EU law before national courts and ultimately in the European courts. And secondly, there is a challenge to the application by arbitral tribunals of EU law as the Commission and the Member States see it, namely where there are decisions that are perhaps based upon an application of EU law, such as where there has been an allegation of incompatible state aid. And that has given rise to a number of the cases that we have seen. Eastern Sugar is one of them. Another is Electrabel and Hungary. It was only a matter of time before the European courts got involved in this debate directly. They already had been indirectly. Electrabel had a state aid aspect to it, and both the General Court and the Court of Justice pronounced upon whether or not the state aid that had been found incompatible by the Commission was really incompatible, and said that any remedies that the investor had in those cases should be dealt with through the existing ICID-ECT Energy Charter Treaty claim. This has been touched upon before, but this was the first time that the matter came before the Court of Justice. But as I say, it was only a matter of time that it would, either in enforcement proceedings or, as in this case, in setting aside proceedings. So the scene had been set by many attempts by member states and the Commission to do away with intra-EU investment treaty claims, and it culminated in Achmea. And, well, you'll take up the story from then.
Yeah, so thank you, Peter. After the Achmea decision, the German Supreme Court proceeded to set aside the award. But two things also happened at the level of the European Commission and the European Member States. So the European Commission in July 2018 sent out a communication to the European Parliament and the Council where they explained the impact of Achmea. And they said that the impact of Achmea is that all intra-EU, or the arbitration clauses in all intra-EU bilateral investment treaties, is invalid. So arbitral tribunals would not have the jurisdictional competence to rule on matters arising under the bilateral investment treaties. And effectively, they also said that all matters taking place between an investor from an EU member state and a member state should be pursued in the local courts. And the communication that the European Commission put together is mostly concerned, in fact, with justifying the effectiveness of the local courts in the various member states. And they have a number of case studies in there saying that investors can, in fact, through the courts in the Czech Republic, Bulgaria, Poland, etc., get a proper remedy in the event that their investor rights have been infringed by the measures of the state. So that was the statement from the European Commission. Of course, the European Commission was behind the Achmea case and trying to convince the European Court of Justice to reach the decision that it ended up reaching. So that was July 2018. The next thing that happened is a declaration that was signed by EU member states in January of 2019. And it is a remarkable document in many respects. It's only a political declaration, so it doesn't have the quality of a legal instrument. But it does contain a number of declarations or intentions, and some of them concern the interpretation of the Achmea judgment. So the member states all say that the effect of the Achmea judgment is, in fact, the invalidity of the arbitration clause in the intra-EU bilateral investment treaties. But they also commit to taking measures against pending proceedings and even against enforcement proceedings where an investor is trying to enforce an award against a member state through the courts of a member state. And then the declaration also anticipates that the EU member states will be concluding a plurilateral treaty, which will do away with all intra-EU BITs. And the only thing that the member states do not seem to have been able to get consensus on was the issue of the Energy Charter Treaty. But that was the declaration. Now, the declaration is really remarkable because the English version of the declaration was signed by 21 member states. The French decided to sign a French version of something that looks very much like the English text. And then there were six member states that weren't willing to sign up to all of the declarations that the others had been willing to sign up. So looks like the majority want something, and there's a minority of member states who haven't really finally made up their mind as to the future of intra-EU BITs. So that's where we got to on these two documents. I think Desiree might want to explain what the future holds for intra-EU BITs.
Yes, Boris, as you pointed out, in the declaration of 15 January 2019, 22 member states declared that they will terminate all of their intra-EU BITs by 6 December 2019, actually either through a multilateral treaty or bilateral negotiations. Such multilateral treaty is currently drafted by expert panel under the Commission. And it's in this fall when the EU member states will engage in negotiations. Even though the member states declared to terminate their intra-EU bilateral investment treaties, it still remains to be seen how they or what will happen with the sunset clauses, because actually they also declared those clauses as ineffective as a consequence of ACMIA. Sunset clauses are clauses that extend the validity of the relevant BIT for a further period after the termination in relation to investments that were made prior to the termination. So it's not really clear what will happen in this regard.
And what we do have is the ACMEA decision, and that already has a direct impact on our clients and on their risks when they're considering or pursuing investment arbitration. And what we thought we'd do is to just look at it from a jurisdictional, from a challenge, and from an enforcement perspective. And Peter, you know, what are you telling your clients when it comes to jurisdictional risks?
Well, assuming that we're talking to investor clients and not respondent state clients, we will be telling them a number of things. The first is that there remains a very considerable doubt about whether the ACMEA decision or judgment was meant to cover the Energy Charter Treaty as well as bilateral investment treaties. It's not clear from the judgment. There is a reference to treaties that were entered into by member states and not the European Union itself. As we know, the Energy Charter Treaty is signed by the European Union, by the Commission, and there may be a difference there. There is also, of course, the fact that the Energy Charter Treaty has many signatories from outside the EU, and therefore it is a different kind of treaty to a bilateral treaty simply between two member states. So we don't know whether ACMEA, whether the Court of Justice intended its judgment to cover the Energy Charter Treaty. What we do know is that in every decision since ACMEA, as of course every decision before ACMEA, arbitral tribunals have upheld their jurisdiction in intra-EU claims, essentially under the Energy Charter Treaty, but not only under the Energy Charter Treaty. So far, on the ground, we are able to advise investors that there is a very high chance that arbitral tribunals will uphold jurisdiction, at least for claims under the Energy Charter Treaty, even if those claims are between an EU investor and an EU member state.
And what about bilateral investment treaties where there is an exit arbitration option?
Then we come on to the more detailed question of whether there should be a difference between arbitration under the ICSID rules, the International Centre for Settlement of Investment Disputes, or under a different set of arbitration rules. The big distinction being that the ICSID rules do not provide for a legal seat of arbitration in a state, in a country, and have their own self-contained method of seeking annulment of arbitral awards. If there is an arbitration with a legal seat in a state, then it is the courts of that state that have jurisdiction over applications to set the award aside. And if, therefore, you have a legal seat in an EU member state, which is exactly the position that the ACMEA case found itself in, with its seat, as Desiree has explained, in Frankfurt, you risk being subject to the very jurisprudence of the Court of Justice that we are discussing, and therefore you risk having, as an investor, your award set aside, even if the arbitral tribunal has found jurisdiction. So you are much better off, whether you are under the Energy Charter Treaty or under a bilateral investment treaty, if it gives this option, choosing ICSID arbitration if you are an EU investor who wants to bring a claim against an EU member state.
Okay, Peter, let's look at a slightly different situation. I was advising an investor with a potential claim against Poland. Poland is, of course, not a signatory to the ICSID Convention, and the relevant bilateral investment treaty only provided for ad hoc or answer trial arbitration. So the question really was, how do we get a seat that is outside the EU when bringing a claim? Is that at all possible?
Well, there your powers of persuasion as an advocate need to come to the fore, because you need to persuade the arbitral tribunal to fix the seat in a non-EU member state. And after the 31st of October, perhaps, it could be London, which after Brexit will not be an EU member state. At the moment, of course, it is an EU member state still. But you have to persuade the arbitral tribunal that it is important to set the legal seat of the arbitration outside the EU.
So I'll just look at this perhaps from the perspective of challengers. I mean, we did see one successful challenge in ACMEA. You know, the award was challenged at the seat in Frankfurt, and the challenge was successful. I'm aware of another challenge that happened, or that was attempted, in Stockholm, where Spain tried to reopen an award that had been rendered in favor of Nova Energia. And that challenge was dismissed, but it was dismissed because it was out of time. So the real issue, whether or not an Energy Charter Treaty award rendered by an SCC tribunal in Stockholm will be treated like the ACMEA award, is still to be considered. But, I mean, as Peter, you suggested, I mean, I do think there's a real risk that an award rendered in such circumstances will be set aside at the seat. And you know, one needs to make sure in such situation, if at all possible, to try and have the seat in a place outside the European Union.
To add a point there, Boris, it's interesting that the Nova Energia award was upheld, and on the procedural ground that the challenge by Spain was out of time, exactly in the direct line of EU jurisprudence after Eco Suisse and other cases where, although it is important according to EU law for EU law to be looked at afresh by enforcement or setting aside courts, a challenger to an award must still respect the procedural timetable that is set down by national legislation. And that's where Spain fell foul in Nova Energia. I agree with you that there is a real risk, though. One day, an ECT award rendered in an EU member state, with an EU member state as its legal seat, will end up being referred to the Court of Justice, and the Court of Justice will then have an opportunity to tell us whether or not it considers the ECT to be compatible with EU law.
Can you just give us your, you know, views as to best way forward on proceeding with such enforcement? Again, of course, from an investor perspective.
So if you are advising an investor and you have won your case, your jurisdiction has been upheld and damages have finally been awarded, you will want to actually recover the money. Assuming there is no voluntary compliance, you need to enforce. Clearly, a state is likely to have most of its assets, and I'm not here going to go into the details of which assets are available for enforcement and questions of sovereign immunity. That will be for another podcast. But most of the assets of a given state will be in that state itself. By definition, if it's an EU member state, that means within the EU, and therefore there is a risk that enforcement proceedings could give rise to a reference to the Court of Justice and therefore could fall foul of ACMEA. Now, in theory, if you are enforcing an ICSID award, that risk should not apply, because any signatory to the ICSID Convention has undertaken by that convention, by that international treaty, the validity of which is not called into question at all by the ACMEA decision, to treat an ICSID award as a judgment of its highest court, and therefore it should be enforced pretty much automatically. Now, we have already seen in the English High Court and the English Court of Appeal the Mikula enforcement application being stayed pending the decision of the European courts on the state aid question, which was at the root of the Commission's challenge to Mikula. So even in ICSID cases, there may be a risk that the European courts will have something to say about enforcement, but in theory, an ICSID award should be enforced without reference to the European Court or indeed anything else other than the terms of the award. An award rendered under non-ICSID rules will be treated differently. It's enforced under the New York Convention. There are grounds on which enforcement can be opposed, including public policy. It would clearly be a matter of public policy that enforcement of an award rendered under a intra-EU bilateral investment treaty or the ECT could fall foul of EU law, and that question could therefore lead to a refusal of enforcement or a reference to the European Court. So, in a nutshell, much safer to enforce an ICSID award than a non-ICSID award if you're enforcing in the EU. Obviously, if you're enforcing outside the EU, you ought to be able to enforce your award, ICSID or non-ICSID, without reference to European law, which is EU constitutional or domestic law, not a law that should be applicable to enforcement proceedings in third countries. Although we are seeing attempts by a number of investors who have won claims against Spain to enforce in other jurisdictions, for example, in the United States, where the European Commission is intervening to try to persuade the enforcement court, even outside the EU, to refuse enforcement. That will continue, and there will be many developments on this front.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Peter. I think we've reached the end of our podcast. You know, we'd be very happy to continue this discussion with any of our listeners. So if you want to reach out to Peter, Desiree or myself, we'd be very happy to hear from you. Thank you.